السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون، والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون، والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون، والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون، إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين، فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، respected brothers, our sisters who listen at the madrasa and our receivers, we continue with some explanation of the verses of Suratul Mu'minun. Last week we were discussing the verse in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that who are these believers who have succeeded, who are indeed very successful in this world, in the Akhirat, those who attain complete falah. What are their characteristics? What were those actions and a'mal that they used to do in this world which brought success for them? There must be something that they have done. It's not that they were just wishing and having high hopes and doing nothing. So besides having khushu in the salat, I'm just giving an explanation, having khushu in the salat, humility, complete submission, complete realization that the person is in salat, is standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There is no harakat and movement in his body. His thoughts are also not running around all over. Accidentally, if those thoughts come, then he ignores them. He does not give them any kind of place in his heart. All the explanation that I have given about khushu, and then they are those who do not utter any kind of falsehood. They do not engage their tongue in rude, vulgar talk. They shun all kinds of lagh, anything that is vain and useless. All the explanation that I have given of lagh. And then their purification of their souls. And if we take the meaning zakat, then they pay the zakat when it is due. The person pays it also willingly and happily. He does not consider zakat to be a tax. He does not consider zakat to be a kind of a fine that he is paying because he was traveling fast, or he earned so much of money, so now you have to pay tax. The person will pay all kinds of taxes, but when it comes to zakat, then that 2.5% is too much for the person to pay. Yet he is paying all the time. How much of taxes we pay? The 14% that the person pays VAT, then income tax, then petrol tax, this tax, that tax, how much of taxes the government imposes the person pays. But when it comes to 2.5% zakat, which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says it's a farz, if the person has got certain amount of money, and the masail of that is a different issue. If It's not that everything you pay 2.5%. There are different masail for different kinds of wealth and how much should be paid. So the person pays zakat not haphazardly. He calculates. It's not that anybody came with a black book to his shop, then he writes a little bit zakat there. Unconcerned where the person is going to spend that money, whether he's a reliable person or not, whether the money is going to be really reaching the places that it should be reaching. Or the person just makes an estimate and just gives some kind of zakat. Or he says, this year I gave a lot of charities, so therefore I don't have to give zakat. So zakat also has to be calculated and then given to the people that are deserving of zakat. So if we take that meaning, then it is zakat to be paid on time, zakat to be paid properly, to be discharged as Shariat requires. And then to consider that zakat as an ibadat, not as a tax and a fine. It's an ibadat. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes upon himself the protection of the rest of the wealth upon which the person has paid zakat. Therefore many times I have mentioned that if a person has to suffer any kind of loss in his property, in his wealth, jewelry got stolen, cash got stolen, business got burned down, so then he must check firstly the zakat. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the loss that occurs on land and on sea is generally because of the zakat being not paid on that wealth. That's the mafhum of that hadith sharif. Generally that is the reason. And I've explained this also in detail in one of my Jummah bayans, that many of us, we changed our lives along the way. Somebody changed his life when he became 50 years of age, somebody changed his life when he was 30 years, somebody even 60 and 80. Now when the person changes his life, or the woman changes her life, they were leading a very fast life, they were in the fast lane. They had nothing to do with deen, with sharia, with Quran, with sunnah. There was no namaz, roza, zakat, hajj in their lives. But then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them hidayat and they adopted deen in their lives. So from that time onwards they start paying zakat. From that time onwards they start making the salat. From that time onwards they start keeping their fast. So what about all those years that went by from the time they became of age? All those things became farz when they became of age. So the person says, now I don't have that kind of money to pay that kind of zakat over the years which was due. So nobody says that you must take out a whole lot one time, but make the niyat, calculate it, take out a little at a time, make wasiyat also. And if the person has got surplus properties or anything else, then he must dispose of that and pay that zakat. Then that will become the means of not only protection for the remaining wealth, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will multiply and give it back to that person. And that is the experience of many, many people. Those who had a hesitation and they did not give, then sooner or later, either in their own lifetime, nothing was left, or immediately upon the death of that person, the children squandered that wealth. And this person still has to answer on the day of Qiyamah. He left behind for his children. Now those children squandered the wealth. And he has to still answer for the zakat having not been paid. So the person must not think that because I started reading my namaz and paying my zakat from the time that I changed my life, so that is sufficient. He must make sincere tawbah for having not paid when it was due. So Allah Ta'ala will forgive the sin. For having not paid when it was due, Allah Ta'ala will forgive that sin. But there must be a calculation and the person must start paying the zakat for the years that have gone by. So then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will not only protect, but Allah Ta'ala will multiply that wealth. There will be barakat in the remaining part of that wealth. So if we take that meaning, then it means zakat on wealth. And if we take the meaning of purification of the soul, then it will mean that the person must purify his heart from malice, from greed, from pride, from arrogance, from envy, from jealousy. He mustn't speak lies. He mustn't take false oaths and qasams. And then he must bring into his life akhlaqi hamida. Good characteristics also have to come into his life. It's not only the negative things that mustn't do this, mustn't do that. So he didn't do all those things. But what did he do after that? So he must have namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. He must have good akhlaq. He must fulfill the rights of the neighbors, of the friends, of the family, of the children, of the wives. And if it's a wife, then of the husband, of the parents. Now all those things, he has to bring all the akhlaqi hamida into his life. He must speak also in a dignified manner. Don't hurt anybody with his words. And so that is something that we discussed to some extent, not very much in detail. And then we went on to zina, because that is what that ayat means, that they safeguard themselves from zina. They protect and safeguard their chastity. They do not engage in sexual relationship except with their wives. As far as those slave women are concerned, that was in those days. Now we don't have that. So we are going to restrict ourselves to wives only. There are lots of masail with regards to what their right hands possess, but we don't have that at present. That was in jihad at that time, and all the masail were applicable. But here we will say that except with their wives. And anybody who desires anything more than that, then they are blameworthy. But if they have this relationship just with their wives, then they are not blameworthy. So that is what we were discussing, and I gave you some examples of how those people who restrain themselves from this haram indulgence, how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rewarded them in this world, and Allah ta'ala will reward them in the akhirat also. And the one person that stands out always in anybody's knowledge when it comes to restraining oneself from zina, when there was nothing that was obstructing, when there were no impediments, there was nothing in between, there was nobody else that was watching except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Every condition was conducive to the commission of this zina. Then the person that stands out is the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And the example of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is repeatedly given to show us that how much of husn can we have. A person is handsome, how much of beauty can he have? A woman is pretty, how much of beauty can she have? Can anybody match the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? The handsomeness of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the person who was given half the husn of the world. So nobody in the world can have that kind of husn. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave that to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And then again here it's a wife of the king, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is in the palace, and he is there as a slave. Although the king said that don't treat him as a slave, give him a dignified position, treat him well, take him as a person of the house. But he's in the house, he came in there as a slave. He was purchased in the marketplace. 7 doors are locked, and a beautiful woman is tempting and seducing him. Now at that time, it was not an easy thing to restrain himself. Therefore, Hazrat Sulaiman bin Yasar Rahmatullah Alayh, so he was on his way to Hajj. And whilst on his way to Hajj, they stopped at Abawa, a place called Abawa. He had one friend with him. So he told the friend that now we are tired and we are hungry, go and buy something. So the person went out to the marketplace somewhere to go and buy something. Now he stayed behind in that camp that they had set up. near the mountainside. And he said, well, a woman came down from the mountains. She was in niqab and she was in hijab. And she came and removed the hijab. And the face was like a full moon. Now from here we learn a lesson that it is not necessary that anyone who is in hijab and in farda, so then shaitan and nafs are not with them. And the same with all those who got beard, kurtas and topis like us. It doesn't mean that shaitan now fears that kurta and the topi and the turban and runs away far. We have to be more on guard. Shaitan tries to make a desperate attempt to trap those people who are doing something in the line of deen. Because he knows that if these people get disgraced, then people will run far from deen. When a person who is in the garb of the pious, when he is going to make a slip, when he is going to be trapped in this net of shaitan, then people will say, look at that Maulana sahab, look at that Hafiz sahab, look at that Tabligh sahab, look at that Khanqa sahab, see what they did. Then we will become the means of people distancing themselves from the masajid, from the khanqas and from tabligh and from other good dini activities, because they will say that if there was some good in it, then why didn't these people change? Yet their understanding was incorrect. It does not mean that every person that goes into the jamaat or goes to the khanqa or goes to a darul ulum or goes to a masjid, then overnight he is going to bring about a complete change and revolution in his life. They should have not looked at it that way. So that was their mistake. But our mistake is that we gave them the opportunity to ridicule and criticize and mock. Around the world, whether he is Muslim or non-Muslim, look at it, when priests are caught in those activities which they themselves prohibit and tell people to restrain themselves from, then what a mockery is made. So as Sulaiman bin Yasar Rahmatullah Alayhi says that this person went and he remained behind. So this woman came down and she tried to do the same thing that Zulaikha was trying to do to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now here again it's a very pretty woman and he is a young person all alone. He is on his way to Hajj. He could have engaged in that haram action. But instead, what did he do? He tied his hands around his knees. He put his face on his knees. And he began to tear and cry and wail, loud wailing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Oh my Allah, what a test is this for me. Protect me, safeguard me. As Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the first thing that he said is, Ma'azallah. I seek protection in my Allah. He didn't say, I'm a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, I've got so much of piety, and I've got so much of taqwa, and I've got so much of God fear and muhabbat. First thing he said, Ma'azallah. Seek protection in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Ask Allah Ta'ala to protect, ask Allah Ta'ala to save. And then if it is possible, then run from there. If a person sees a beautiful snake coming, we know that the snake skin is very valuable. So many women folk use the handbags made of snake skin. And they have great shine and color. So if a big snake is coming, does a person go towards the snake just because it's got beautiful skin? Or does he run from there for his life? So like that, if it is a ghair mahram woman whose beauty has attracted the person, so first thing, ma'azallah, seek protection in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Lower the gaze and distance yourself from there. Run from the azbab also of masiyat. And if a person just cannot help it due to circumstances, because he's working in the bazaar, in the marketplace, places where so much of fitna is, is in vogue, then at that time, to whatever extent he can restrain himself, he restrains and then make plenty of tawbah and istighfar. But picking up the gaze again for the second time purposely, where there is no need for it, then he cannot find excuse for that. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given man that strength and that power. And that is where our taqwa and our piety and our wilayat is tested. If a person wants to become the wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that first accidental gaze is maaf. Whereas on the streets and at the airports and in the aeroplanes and in other places, what is the need to look at that face again? Then we will say, very difficult. Indeed, that is why there is halawat of iman promised and sweetness of iman promised on that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that an-nazru sahmum min sihami iblis. In fact, he says sahmum masmumun min sihami iblis. It's a poisoned arrow from the arrows of shaitan. Gaze. And whosoever is going to abstain from casting that lustful glance, the person is going to lower his gaze, he's not going to cast that glance, he's not going to raise his eyes again. And he does that also out of khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him that iman, the halawat and sweetness of which he will taste. He will find the sweetness of that iman in his heart. So there is no doubt that that is the tear of shaitan. It is the arrow of shaitan. It's a poisoned arrow. So the Sulaiman bin Yasar rahmatullah alayh, as we came back on track again, as the Sulaiman bin Yasar rahmatullah alayh began to cry. His eyes went red, tears rolled down his cheeks out of fear that he must not get trapped. They proceeded and they arrived at Makkah Mukarrama. They made tawaf, they made Safa Marwa, and then tired, he sat down one corner and he fell off to sleep. So in the dream he saw a person tall, very, very handsome, with great fragrance coming out of his body and clothes. So he asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Yusuf." He said, "That same Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, Yusuf Siddiq?" He said, "Yes." So he said, "That incident of yours where Zulaikha was trying to seduce you, it is indeed something really fascinating, amazing, that how you restrained yourself." So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam told him in the dream that that incident of yours where you restrained yourself at Abwa, that is even more fascinating. Because he was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and a Nabi of Allah ta'ala is protected from sin. But he says, you're being a young person and you're not a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There was no Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam or anybody came there to protect you. Now, your fear of Allah in your heart and your restraining yourself is even more fascinating. So this is something that a person will have to do if he wants sukoon in his heart. Without that, sukoon will never come in the heart. It will bring restlessness. That is the necessary ending, that there will be restlessness. Therefore Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that if a person has to see a pretty woman, then he must lower his gaze. For if he does not lower his gaze, then one of the two things is going to happen. Either he will raise the gaze and see beauty in that face, so now there will be restlessness. Now he will be desirous of engaging in that sin with that woman, and which will not be possible for him. Will it be possible for a person that every woman that he finds pretty on the street keeps gazing? So he will get every woman, or the woman will get every man. So he's going to increase his restlessness. And if she is not pretty, then he has wasted his time. Why did he raise his eyes? So in both cases he is a loser. The reason why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasizes that those young people who have the ability to marry, then they should get married. Ya mashar al-shabab man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. So he's encouraging them that they should get married. What will marriage do? It will be a means of them lowering their gaze. And it will be a means of the protection of their chastity. And if the person does not have that ability, then he must fast. Meaning the person must then weaken those passions through fasting. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has encouraged marriage, but no way is there any kind of permissibility for zina. Zina destroys the moral fabric of the society. Illegitimate births in abundance in the Western world and even the Eastern world and in Africa and everywhere. And there's nothing but filth and porn and immorality which is in vogue everywhere. Now at such a time, this young person, he is not required to read too much of nafil namaz, plenty of tahajjud and ishraq and chash and 100,000 tasbih and whatever he reads, alhamdulillah. But his wilayat is in that, our wilayat is in that, that we restrain our gazes from haram and we restrain our hearts from haram. That is where wilayat is. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to look at his life, look at the purity in his life. He was young, he was handsome, he had quwwat and taqat of 40 men of Jannat. 40 men of Jannat. That's the strength that Allah Ta'ala had given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now look at the purity in his life. So anybody who wants to get the nisbat of Allah Ta'ala and nisbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these times, it is easy. And that is restrain the gazes from haram and restrain the hearts from haram. Of course, the fara'is and all are part of deen. But if we really want that connection, it is not how much of tasbihs we read. People are putting all the effort into tasbihat. Indeed, in our spare time, if we meet tasbihat, it will strengthen our iman. And it will give us some himmat and courage. But when it comes to making the effort to restrain ourselves from haram, then we don't put in that kind of effort. We will sit in the masajids, we will sit in bayans, we will sit in waaz and nasihats, we will do deen work, dawat work, and all kinds of deeni activities we will engage in. But then after that, shaitan and nafs overpowers us. There is no need to watch the television programs. Is there a need for it? To watch the internet sites of haram? Is there a need? Is the person's life dependent on that? Or in the newspapers and magazines and other articles that come, where there are pictures of women there, or pictures of naked people there, or semi-naked. Now the person, what does it cost him if he has to destroy that picture, or tear it up, or after the first glance and move it out, read the article that you have to read, and destroy the rest? And those people whose taqwa levels are not that high, people like us, then we should even avoid that and don't go to those newspapers unnecessarily. If the person is going to go to those papers, then after that he must not blame anybody but himself when he says that I got caught up in this and caught up in that and caught up in that. Because there is a kind of an effect that falls on the heart. Darkness comes and settles on the heart. And shaitan will glorify that picture and say, look again, look again. The number of letters that I get from different parts of the world, they admit that we are restless, we can't seem to find sukoon, and we know what the problem is. But because I was in this habit from young days, because I was in this habit from school days, because I was in this habit from college days, therefore I find it very difficult to give it up. Now, on the one hand, they realize, they know it, and after listening to that bayan, then they say, you are very right and correct in what you are saying, but what do I do now? It's a habit. So a habit which a person has, and if the doctor tells him that this habit of yours is going to lead you to the graveyard, and it's just a matter of time now, if you don't stop this habit of yours, whatever the doctor has diagnosed, the person is a smoker and he says, one more cigarette and you'll be in the graveyard, one more halwa, your sugar is so high, then a little bit more jalebi and halwa and you'll be one candidate for Brook Street Cemetery. Then see how they give it up. Now for physical health, the person is prepared to give up a habit. How many people have given up their habits? Habits of smoking, habits of other things. A person was addicted to watching the filthy movies and programs on television. But when the doctor told him, or the eye specialist, that your eyes are gone very bad, and if you're going to continue watching these programs, then you will lose your sight. And because of that, the person gave it up. Now when Allah Ta'ala's hukam was there, we didn't give it up. But when the eye specialist says that, then the person gives it up. So it shows that bad habits can be given up. When physical body is so important to us that we give up that bad habit, so why should we not give up those bad habits which are leading us to the Jahannam, leading us to Jahannam, and displeasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, anger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we should not lose hope. We should not think that it's impossible. Everything is possible. If the person makes a little bit of himmat, then it is possible. Thousands of people, millions of people throughout history, they have restrained themselves from haram and they have obtained the best of dunya and akhirat. So on the one hand we want sukoon also, and on the other hand we don't want to give up a bad habit. Then both things will not go together. Ganga ka ishnam bhi kiya, Hajj Kaaba bhi kiya, Razi rahe Rahman bhi, khush rahe Shaitan bhi. Now that won't happen. We have to make Allah Ta'ala happy. Be parda haseenon se hua tang zamana. That everybody says. And aankhon ne shuru kar diya ab dil ko satana. So the eyes and the gaze is the first thing. That is what, if we keep in control, then the heart will also stay in control. If we are not going to control the gaze, then definitely it is going to lead to the other steps. And that is the zina of the eyes. Some people say that, why does Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahab emphasize so much lowering of gazes and protection from casting lustful glances? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has declared it as zina of the eyes. And a person who is committing zina of the eyes, then he's going to go further after that and he will commit the real zina. And at the time of committing zina, the person's iman leaves his body. That is the most dangerous thing. La yazni zani hina yazni wa huwa mu'min. One of the explanations given of that, that that person's iman comes out and just stays above him, hovers like a cloud above him. Until he's committing that zina, that iman is out of him. Now if his death has to come in that state, then he left this world without iman. We can say how much namaz e janaza we want and we can say everything. But of course there's some explanation. Some have said that it doesn't mean that and the person is still a believer. But the fact is that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is using so hard and harsh words, La yazni zani hina yazni wa huwa mu'min, while the person is committing zina, he is a mu'min, then there's no iman there. So, iman e kamil and everything else is there. But look at the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And what guarantee the person has got that he's not going to leave the world in that state while she is doing that amal. So there is no benefit in it, there is nothing but harm in it. In haram, there's nothing but harm. And on Sunday morning, I mentioned that if you look at the word haram, H-A-R-A-A-M, I'm talking about the English equivalent, then haram, there's double A there. That means a double harm there. H-A-R-A-M, H-A-R-A-A-M, haram, double harm. And in devil, there's evil there. Anyone who befriends the devil, then he is going to be having nothing but evil in his life. And the time seems to fly very fast too. So we conclude here. So many things are coming in the mind, but it's nice to stick to the time that has been announced. That is a wada and a promise. So therefore the person must stick to that. After that he can say, well, now it's over. Those who wish to go can go, and now I'm going to continue till midnight. Whoever wants to sit, sit. Then see who sits. So inshallah we'll continue with this, but this is something that is, as I always say, a scourge of our society. There seems to be nothing more dangerous for youth and for the adults and for everyone today than this zina of the eyes, zina of the heart. And the real zina. Even if you don't want to see those pictures, they tend to come in front of your eyes. You are driving, they will be on the boards. When you pick up some newspaper, some magazine, they will be there. And now they are distributing these newspapers freely, putting it in every person's box. Now there could be a 90% advertisement and other reasonable and decent articles there, we don't deny that, or 80% in those newspapers which are so-called distributed, or which are distributed for advertisement purposes. But still now, even in those papers, they are doing the same thing, because they know that that is what attracts. For the disbelievers, it is their jannat, so therefore they are going to enjoy those pictures. But for the believers, if they come and put those things in our boxes, and because it is free, we haven't purchased it, and we take it into our homes to see some advertisement there where meat is being sold cheap and where fish is selling cheap and where some clothing is cheap and some toys are cheap. So then still, before we leave it there for our young children and for the wives and for the sisters and for the... we should destroy those pages which has such kind of pictures. This is what I've been saying for a long, long time. Now, some people are talking about the Sunday Times, the boycott, must we continue with the boycott or not? Now that boycott now is because of what they did with regards to the cartoon and the insult to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other things. But I have been saying this from years, that such kind of papers must be boycotted, and don't read them unless it's really necessary, essential. Businessman wants to catch up with some business news, or there are some relevant articles there or something like that. But the majority of the people, what real need there is there to read all that? What are they going to really get from that paper? So I was calling for that boycott on moral grounds from years, that we don't need such kind of things in our homes. Go out and see in the homes of good people, pious people, righteous people, namazis, hajis, muftis, qaris, huffaz, the people will be lying around in the sitting room, in the lounge, yeah, they're everywhere with those pictures also open, and the children are looking at it, the girls, women, everybody. It's like nothing is happening, unconcerned. Whereas what they should have done is destroyed those pictures, destroy those pages and the whole paper if there's no need to keep it, and don't purchase it also if there's no real necessity. That is the boycott that we are calling for on moral grounds, that our morals are being affected. After reading those articles, people are losing their morals. And shaitan and nafs after that encourages the person to go in that same line and that same direction. How many people after reading those articles, they landed in prostitute quarters, they landed on porn sites, they landed in other places. And then what can we do? But we have to say it, because Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have informed us of all these things. How they even destroy their own health. by destroying or wasting that water of life. You have understood what I have said. So turn towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is forgiving, is merciful, and He wants to give us that nisbat. He wants to give us that happiness. He wants to give us that contentment, satisfaction. He wants to give us sukoon in our lives. He wants to give us tranquility and peace. He wants to give us the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. And that can only come when we are going to please Allah Ta'ala. A few years, and that is all. Just a few years of mujahada. Ye tadap tadap ke jeena, lahu aarzu ka peena, yehi mera jaam o meena, yehi mera toor seena. Mera aashiqi ka manzar, zara dekhna sambhal kar. Tadap tadap ke jeena. Let the other people enjoy themselves. We will make high. But with the khawf of Allah Ta'ala, we will restrain ourselves and then see what Allah Ta'ala gives. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Mawla, Amari gunahukum afarma, khatahukum afarma, lagzish wa sayyidina kuzarfa. We are extremely sinful servants of yours, O my beloved Allah. Don't seize us because of our sins. We are very, very weak and very sinful. Give us himmat and courage of lions against our nafs. Nafs and shaitan want to drag us down the gutters of shame, gutters of embarrassment, disgrace and humiliation. Ya Allah, we have got absolutely no control over our gazes, our hearts, our hands, our feet, our eyes. Oh my beloved Allah, we are being dragged by nafs and shaitan in whichever direction they wish. We have become the slaves of nafs and shaitan instead of becoming your slaves. Ya Allah, change the direction of our lives. My beloved Allah, remove all the chains that have tied us. Tie us firmly and strongly in just one chain. The chain of your muhabbat. The chain of the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Forgive our major sins and minor sins. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. In the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Forgive our parents, our children, our wives, our family members and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Waqina azab an-nar. Waqina azab an-nar. Waqina azab an-nar. وقينا عذاب القبر وقينا عذاب الحشر وقينا عذاب الدين. Protect us from the عذاب of قبر, from the عذاب of آخرة. Enter into Jannat without any reckoning in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Allah, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the world. What difficulties, hardships, pain, suffering and problems they are going through. We know it is because of our sins in majority of the cases. But Ya Allah, you dearly love forgiveness. Open the doors of your maghfirat. Open the doors of your mercy. Forgive the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assist and help the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assist and help the mujahideen of Islam. Ya Allah, change the conditions around the globe. It's not difficult for you, my beloved Allah. Bless us all with hidayat. Bless the entire mankind with hidayat. Bless us with barakat in our business, barakat in our home, barakat in our life, barakat in our time. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. So many are in hospitals, in clinics, in homes. So many amongst us suffering from different kinds of ailments and sicknesses and diseases. Ya Allah, bless everyone with complete shifa. Give us shifa from our spiritual sicknesses and diseases. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq and remove the difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the corruption, mischief and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires that are in the hearts of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night in this dars of the Quran Sharif. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes and good desires. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and the suffering of each and every individual. Ya Allah, remove the pain, the suffering, the hardship. Those whose family members have passed away, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Fill the graves with Noor. Give the family members and kith and kin sabre jameel ajre azim. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.